Barkov wins the faceoff. Yandle crosses. Trocheck. Huberto left circle. Try to go cross ice. Broken up by Klefbom. Out there with Davidson. Camilleri and Letestu on the kill. Wrist shot. Score. 5-3 Florida. A wrister from the top of the right circle. Trocheck's got two. He blew it right past Cam Talbot. Give him 20 on the year.
Okay, so that was last night, and we had a interesting text earlier today on the Glenmore Audi fan feedback text line. And Eric Tkachuk, the guy, said, is it wrong for me to PVR the Oilers games and only watch them if they're losing? That's a true Flames fan. When you look at what's happening with the Oilers, it's in some ways it seems simple. Because how about you get your penalty kill somewhere around 75% at home? It's, 55%, which is unbelievable. When you talk about a penalty kill being that bad at home into February, is that a personnel issue? Is it a tactical kind of thing? Is it a coaching sort of thing? Is it energy? Is it focus? In all your years of covering the NHL, when a team has a brutal penalty kill, what is normally the problem?
Well, I would say that the number one thing is it's in their heads, and a lot of times in life, not just in hockey, if you expect an outcome, that's what you get. So if you expect a positive outcome, you generally get a positive outcome. If you expect a negative outcome, you generally get a negative outcome. And, that's, basic, psychology 101. And I think that that's really what's going on there because, as you say, the penalty killing is bad at home and very good on the road. So why? Why should it, and I just think that, when they're on the road, they're constantly reminded that they've done a good job there. And so they just go out and, tactically it doesn't change. They are killing penalties the same way wherever they are. They may be adjusting because their penalty killing hasn't been that good, but it's not like, okay, let's use, tactics A and B for home and C and D for the road. That isn't how it works in the NHL. So I think it's just in their heads. I absolutely think that, it's sort of like, okay, let's not get scored on tonight because we got scored on last time. And then all of a sudden you do. And more than anything else, there's a cliche that I like because I think it's true. They always say your best penalty killer has to be your goaltender. So a lot of times the numbers to me are masked by the fact that if your goaltender, makes a bunch of 10 bell saves killing a penalty, and then you get a clear after those saves, it looks pretty good because they didn't score. And sometimes, if a bunch sift through and your goalie can't come up with that big save, and you might even say, okay, it wasn't his fault or this or that. But the reality is if enough pucks go in, it just has this negative dampening effect on morale. So I'm not even sure that they can necessarily cure it this year. There are some things that you could do, like you could bring in a penalty killing specialist coach. I think that they need to hire somebody like a Dave King when he gets finished with the Olympic team here to bring him in and just, tap into his expertise. He's strategically, he's one of the best coaches I've ever dealt with, him and Bob Johnson. And I think that he's the type of person that could, sit down in a film room and say, okay, this isn't working, that's not working, try this, try that. A resource like that might help a little bit. There's a sort of a species of player in the NHL. To me, the best example right now is Brad Richardson down in Arizona that doesn't get a lot of credit. Fans don't pay attention because he's not a factor on their fantasy teams. But he can just, he plays bottom six, real good, solid, invisible minutes, plays with a bit of spark, wins a few faceoffs for you. A few more guys like that. When Matt Hendricks went and joined Winnipeg, I remember being in training camp with Paul Maurice, and he says, oh, this guy is unbelievable. You can't even imagine what he brings to the room. And it's like, really? Matt Hendricks? Because, who pays attention to the Matt Hendrickses of the world or the Brad Richardsons? But sometimes these glue guys are really important. And, and Hendricks was a kind of a glue guy for Edmonton. And, I didn't play that much last year, and I'm not sure that they necessarily appreciated what he did. He's a little bit over 10 minutes a game. But sometimes you don't realize how important these guys are until they are out of your system. And I know for sure, Winnipeg Winnipeg values having him. So I think that, those are a few of the things that you can do. But I don't know, it just feels like a lost year. You almost feel like, you know, they're almost in their own heads, have turned the page to next year already, because I think their probability of making the playoffs are so slim right now that what are you going to do? And I don't know.
I would challenge you on a little bit of the lost season. I know they're not going to make the playoffs, but I mean, everyone's paying top bucks to get in there. They've all bought their jerseys. They've got that new arena. Like, tell me they're not going to race to the bottom to see if they can get the Swedish defenseman that everybody wants, and sure enough, they'll get him. But I think you have to show your fans here in end of this month and into March that we've got something, that it isn't the same old Oilers. We've got something here. We can fix our power play. We can get our goaltending going. We already have the best player in the world. We know that. We just got to figure it out. Like, don't you think they have to kind of, maybe the season starts now for them? Like, don't worry about the playoffs.
No, you're right. I mean, you don't throw 30 games away. You see them as a trial. I remember Ken Hitchcock said this to me one time. When he first started his NHL coaching career, he was in Kalamazoo for half the season, and then he was promoted to Dallas. And, you know, he used that time to get accustomed to the players and to learn about them. And then it was like, okay, then we can hit the ground running last year. And I would argue that probably if you were in Colorado for the tail end of last year, which was an absolute lost season, similar to what's going on in Edmonton, and Jared Bednar was coming to the end of that year, and it was like, wow, am I even going to have a job at the end of the year? And they did demonstrate some faith in him and said, look, we didn't give you a fair shake because we hired you so late in the year. But let's see if we can put some things in place for next year. And they made some moves at the trade deadline. They traded Jerome McGinley to Los Angeles. They created opportunities for some younger players to come in and play more minutes. And they really were trying to change the culture and the mood and the atmosphere. I mean, I think you see it with New York right now. I mean, it's instructive, isn't it? The management can go out and say, okay, we are waving the white flag on the season. We are listening to offers for really all of our available players. And bang, they go out and win some games. And, I was watching Neil Smith on the NHL Network a couple of nights ago, and they asked him, why is that? Like, why is it? And to me, the answer is easy. For one thing, you're starting to play some players because of injuries that they've got right now that are not NHLers. Well, those players see this as an opportunity to grab an NHL job. So they are motivated. You absolutely know that they are motivated because, if you can demonstrate something in the final 30 games of the season so that if they do move on from Mark Stahl, if they do move on from Ryan McDonagh, you're the guy that they're going to put into the lineup next year rather than, seek out for free agency. So obviously Edmonton, has players coming through the system. Maybe that's what you do. Promote a handful of guys and get some of that, youthful enthusiasm. Try Puljujarvi with McDavid for 20 games in a row and see if they develop some chemistry and see if that's the fix. And give Draisaitl a shot at playing center rather than, the easy. We know Draisaitl and McDavid can be great together, and we know that they're probably going to be really good on the power play. So if this is an opportunity to experiment, these are things that you can do to answer some questions. And then if you decide that Draisaitl isn't a center and the only place that he can play is with McDavid, then that tells you what you have to address in the offseason. If after the final 30 games or whatever is left for them, they determine, okay, we just need to split them up at 5-on-5 and put them together on the power play, then that creates a different set of options and moves that you would make in the offseason. So, no, I'm not saying, thank you for coming, come back in October. These are valuable in terms of evaluating things. Now, the only thing is, as Edmonton has proven way in the distant past when they were missing the playoffs year after year, they often had strong finishes that gives you gave them an unrealistic hope for the next year. And then when the pressure came back, they weren't very good again. So that's the only downside to having a little bit of a trial period at the end of a season. If everybody's playing free and easy, like New York is. Like, New York is playing free and easy right now, and they weren't playing free and easy 2 weeks ago. And it's amazing how if you just, relax a little bit and let the game come to you, all of a sudden it's just way easier than when you're gripping the stick and worrying and wondering and it affects performance. And so that you may even see that with Edmonton in the next little while. All of a sudden, they're starting to play a little better. Why? Because they got nothing to lose.
Well, exactly. And Eric, we're tight for time. And on Thursday, we're going to talk a little bit. We haven't talked about the Olympics just yet, and I think we probably should. I think there's a little bit of a buzz for this this band of ragtags and misfits that are the men's hockey team. I think once they hit the ice, I think Canada, you know, games are on super early, and that's sort of annoying. But I think people will get into it, I think, right?
Well, I've been profiling a number of the guys, talking to them, in Latvia and so on, and that's what I'm finding. Everybody's got a great backstory. Now, you know, having a great backstory is one thing, and then you know, winning games on the ice, which I think is the thing that people care most about, is something separate again. But you know, they've won their three exhibition games. They've outscored the teams by a cumulative 8-1 score. I think they feel that they need this, you know, strong defensive smothering style in order to win. I think a lot of these guys have been, because they're from the KHL and from the Swedish League and the Swiss League, they have been playing all year on the big ice, so there isn't that transition that you sometimes have when NHLers go over there. It's like, whoa, it's a lot of ice out here. So I do think there's a lot of positives for this group. And the other thing is the goaltending has been very good. You know, they've given Scrivens and Poulin have each thrown a shutout, and then they split this last game. So it'll be interesting to see how they deploy them. They have three games in a very short period of time. My guess is that one will get two and the other will get one, and then once you start playing for keeps, it's, you know, one game, and you can, you know, in the quarterfinal matchup with whomever, you can win that game or you can lose that game. But I do think people are interested, and I know that, you know, I've got my, you know, VCR, you know, set up to tape these games, so I can not have to get up in the middle of the night and watch them at a more reasonable hour. But yes, I'm interested in it, and the feedback we're getting from our Olympic stories is a lot of people are too.
Okay, well, we will talk on Thursday for sure and have a bit of a wrap on their first game, and with the time change, it's going to work just perfect for us. So thanks for taking the time out, and we will talk Thursday. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.